Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 to 29. Again, that is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 to 29. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, "Thus and so did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, do not stay tonight at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means pass over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up." Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were waiting at En-Rogel. A female servant was to go and tell them, and they were to go and tell King David, for they were not to be seen entering the city. But a young man saw them and told Absalom. So both of them went away quickly and came to the house of a man at Bahurim, who had a well in his courtyard. And they went down into it, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and scattered grain on it, and nothing was known of it. When Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said to them, "They have gone over the brook of water." And they had sought and could not find them. They returned to Jerusalem. After they had gone, the men came up out of the well and went and told King David. They said to David, "Arise and go quickly over the water, for thus and so has Ahithophel counseled against you." Then David arose and all the people who were with him, and they crossed the Jordan. By daybreak, not one was left who had not crossed the Jordan. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went off home to his own city. He set his house in order and hanged himself, and he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. Now Absalom had set Amasa over the army instead of Joab. Amasa was the son of a man named Ithra the Ishmaelite, who had married Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. When David came to Mahanaim, Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir the son of Amiel from Lo Debar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds, basins, and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, and lentils, honey and curds, and sheep and cheese from the herd, for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." In yesterday's devotional, we learned that Absalom is trying to overthrow David's position as king. And to do so, he inquires of two different people for advice. One of them is Ahithophel, who gives advice that would have clearly been beneficial to Absalom's goal to overthrow David. And the other is Hushai, who gives advice that actually buys David more time to find refuge and will ultimately lead to Absalom's downfall. Absalom actually listens to Hushai's advice, which is David's answered prayer and God's providence. This is where we pick up from yesterday's passage, and in today's passage, we see more of God's providence. First, in verses 15 to 20, we see messengers of David trying to get word to him about what happened with Absalom's decision to listen to Hushai's advice and what David should do in response. It says that a young man sees David's messengers and alerts Absalom about them. So the messengers hide in a well when Absalom's servants come looking for them, and they're able to get away, another sign of God's providence. Because Absalom decided to follow Hushai's advice, Absalom himself, who is not fit to be a military leader, becomes the leader of Israel's army. Not only that, but we also see in verse 25 that Absalom brings in a new commander in the army. These are decisions that are leading to Absalom's downfall and are actually helping David. Again, another sign of God's providence. Then in the last section of this passage, we see God providing David with tangible help in the form of food and shelter from seemingly random people we haven't heard of. Yet, another sign of God's providence and care for David. God's providence seems to be a recurring theme during this part of David's life. Remember that this is a time after David's extreme moral failure with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. David is nowhere near in right standing before God. And this persecution and downfall that David is experiencing right now is a direct consequence of his failure to uphold God's law. But even still, we see in this passage how much God provides for David and displays his affection for him. Even in the midst of David's failure, God is still a God who provides, a God who stays faithful, and a God who shows compassion. David did not deserve the providence of God. Some of these include Absalom taking Hushai's advice over Ahithophel's, David's messengers getting away from Absalom safely to tell David what he needed to hear, Absalom making himself Israel's military leader, leading to his making of many errors that were beneficial to David, being provided food and shelter and refuge from the wilderness. God provided David with all of these things, not because David deserved it, but because God promised David that he would build him a house and raise up offspring after him, which would later become the messianic line. And no one can get in the way of God's promise. Through today's passage, let's remind ourselves that this is who God is. He is a God who is compassionate and a God who keeps his promises. There may be times in our lives where we have made moral failures like David had. And in these times, we might tell ourselves that we are unworthy of God's providence over us. And that is very true. We don't deserve God's love in any sense. But from this passage, and also throughout the entire scriptures, we know that God chooses to pour out his grace anyways. And because we know that God always keeps his promises, we can be sure that his grace is waiting to pour out onto us when we put our faith in him. So today, let's turn away from the things that are not of or from him, and instead, let's turn to him who is gracious and faithful. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who is powerful, powerful to carve out the way for David to fulfill your promises. Thank you that you are a God who is gracious, gracious to tenderly provide for David when he was in need, despite his sin. Thank you that you are a God who is faithful, faithful to keep your promise to David. So Lord, we ask that you help us today to turn to you in response to your character. For we know that you are a powerful and a gracious and a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.